Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh Design Conference Call for the 13th day of February, year 2019. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is the insurgency. After the initial discussion, of course, we'll have an open mic session. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Kumru Ambeth. We will take calls after, again, the initial discussion. We ask that folks keep their comments or questions as short as possible to allow others to participate. And we are in the question and answer mode. Our website is www.pastordan.net. And on there, you will find archives of past programs going back to 1999. You also see the schedule for upcoming calls. There's also a lot of links there for news items, research items, health tips, recommended websites for learning this message. And, of course, in this day and age, with so many lies and deceptions going on, it's very good to know who your enemy is. If you don't know who your enemy is, how in the world do you prepare? We talked about this quote in the last program quite a bit, but this is very important as we go into these latter days. And the men of Jacob Israel, the true Israelite warriors that are out there, they're going to have to figure out who their leaders are. In time of war, that was something very, very important to do. And so we need to relearn how did they do it in the old days. But Thomas Watson Sr. is given credit for this quote, "Nothing so conclusively proves a man's ability to lead as what he does from day to day to lead himself." Very good. In other words, does he walk the walk? Okay, we got a lot of people that talk the talk. I found the same frustration in my younger years coming to know this message and figuring out what was so important and looking for a leader. I was always looking for leaders. To my dismay, many of them did not pass the smell test. Once you got up close and personal to them, once you were around them to see how they behaved when the cameras were not on them, and to be quite honest, many of them did not pass muster. So, again, a good point to keep in mind is what this quote is talking about. Anybody that you are considering to elect as your leader, you need to find out what he does day to day to lead himself, because it's going to tell you. That's why when you look to Washington, D.C. and think we're going to find leadership, that's a very bad place to look. Okay, what do those people do day to day? They take care of themselves, they lie, they distort, you name it. Okay, not the attributes of true leaders. My opinion has been for many, many years that as we go into this period of time, the real leaders, those that Yahweh has chosen, won't be coming from areas that most folks will be looking for them. So again, the insurgency, I'll go ahead and give you the dictionary definition for insurgency. We're taking definition number 2 out of the dictionary I looked it up in, and that is rebellion against an existing government by a group not recognized as a belligerent. Now, did you get that? Insurgency. Rebellion against an existing government. Who's the government of the United States? We the people. Remember the constitutional quotes we've talked about many, many times. All power is inherent in the people. Not our public servants. In the people. So the government that we're talking about here, rebellion against us, by a group not recognized as a belligerent is the federal government, our public servants who have become rebellious. You could even say in probably most states that would apply to the state capital as well. We the people govern ourselves under the laws of our Heavenly Father. Okay, that's why George Washington said, this country was established for a moral people, meaning people who believe that they have to answer to a higher power. All right? This country was not founded on the concept that you could open the floodgates and bring in people with all manner of languages, cultures, religions, and make it work. The assumption of the Founding Fathers right from the get-go was it would be a homogeneous population. It doesn't work for any other. They don't have the same value system. If you don't have the same value system, how does it work? Good case in point, the Jews. Okay? Our book is the Holy Bible. Their book is the Talmud. They're not the same. Not even close. In their holy book, pulling a baby out and cutting its head off and selling its body parts is fine. Not in our book. Them praying the Kol Nidre prayer every Yom Kippur, which is in the fall of the year, once a year they say a prayer that says it's okay for them to lie under oath. Does that mesh up with our standards? And you wonder why these people can get up there in front of a camera, in front of Congress and everybody else with a straight face and tell lie after lie after lie, even under oath? That's their religion, folks. You don't think it matters? Unbelievable. Would you leave your children in care of a babysitter if their religion said it was okay to abuse, murder, or have sex with 3, 4, 5-year-old children? Do you think you'd do that if you knew that was their religion? Well, go grab yourself a copy of the Talmud, and that's exactly what you're doing when you put your children in the care of anything that's Jewish. Okay? It's their book, not mine, so I don't want to hear any bull crap from anybody that, well, Dan, you sound like you're anti-Jewish. Well, if you're talking about the Talmud, yeah, the Talmud says that my Christ is cursed, he was a liar, a profligate, a whoremonger, and he is being judged in hell, is standing in boiling hot excrement, which means shit, in case you don't know what excrement is. Okay, that's what their holy book says. That's what their rabbis talk about. Okay, so do I have a lot of respect for that? Hell no. Should I? I wouldn't think so. So all these people say, well, we're supposed to tolerate other religions. Really? Where does it say that? Where did the founding fathers ever say that? You got to remember, when you're talking about laws, meaning like constitutions, Bill of Rights, the Magna Carta, and different legal documents like that, when they were founded, when they were written, it was the intent of the law that mattered, not the wording. Okay, that's what they taught 600-700 years ago, at least, if not further back. People understood that. A law is judged by its intent. That's more important than the wording, because you can see it happen now. Look at Bill Clinton when he tried to argue about the definition of is, or what does the word sex mean. See, that's how devils, adversaries, and the devil talk. They want to get you twisted up in the meanings of words when the intent is what was more important. And so these people sit there and try to convince you the laws mean something else based on, quote, the language of it. See, that's what deceivers do. Whereas you cannot argue the intent of a law. For instance, the Second Amendment to the Constitution. It's very clear, anybody that studies anything about our founding fathers, that they intended that we the people, especially we Anglo-Saxon Protestants, because it was our forefathers that founded this country. They never intended for any government agency to have any authority in deciding whether you and I can have any kind of weapon whatsoever, both owning it and carrying it. None. That was the intent, that our public servants never attempt to to interfere with our God-given right to be armed to defend ourselves from bad guys or bad government. Okay, that's the intent. I just saw a meme that was sent out that listed over 100 countries and the murder rates, all of them well above the United States. And I'm going to say it was like 92, somewhere between 92 and 100 and some countries. I can't remember. But they listed them and they had their rates. Every one of those countries have strict gun control laws. And yet they had higher murder rates than we do here in the United States. Every one of them. And they did not mention Switzerland, which has a near zero murder rate. Why? Because they legally force, basically, their citizens to be armed. I did a book report on Switzerland when I was in the fifth grade. So that's 10 years old. So that was 55 years ago, and I still remember standing in front of my classmates giving them this talk on the country of Switzerland. And that was one of the points I made during my little speech in the English class talking about Switzerland. The fact that every man in Switzerland must enter the military and serve 3 years. That gives him military training. That way they know he knows how to handle a weapon. He knows how to load it. He knows how to aim it. He knows how to clean it. They're guaranteed. Plus, they get 3 years of service out of him. So he knows discipline. He knows military order. He knows uniforms. And he knows discipline. Perfect. Perfect. Sounds like the ancient Spartans. And when he gets out of the military, he takes his rifle home with him. And his government, provides ammunition for the rest of his life as long as he uses it to stay proficient in the use of that rifle. So the entire male population of Switzerland, and maybe even some of the females, I don't know, but I'll guarantee you at least all the males in Switzerland are part of the military. They're part of their citizen army. That's one of the reasons why Switzerland has never been invaded. It's very mountainous terrain, very difficult for any invading army to traverse. And number two, you're going to have to fight every single male person in Switzerland who will have a rifle and a good supply of ammunition and know how to use it. You want to talk about a good defense system? That works. So the anti-gunners are after your guns for one reason only. Why? Because it's part of this insurgency. It is a group of people pretending to be American when they are not. As this definition says here, a group not recognized as a belligerent. In other words, they're like a spy. They're like a spy. So they are acting belligerents, just like the Trotskyites, the Zionist Bolsheviks to our Russian cousins 100 years ago, they were posing as Russian people, but they are actually enemy combatants, belligerents, that were unrecognized in that it was a Jewish goal to overthrow Tsarist Christian Russia. They hated them. And it's unfortunate that they did not wake up to the treason of the Jews until too late, much to the chagrin of our Cuban folks down here when Fidel Castro ran as a conservative. I guess people back then in the 50s or whenever it was weren't wise enough to check on his background and find out he was a Jew from New York. He went to law school in a New York university, spoke fluent English, obviously. And he was Jewish, so he wasn't even a real Cuban. And then after he got into power, they found out he was a communist, typical Jew. And when the counter-revolution was formed, we said we would support them and then betrayed the Cuban people, just like we betrayed Chiang Kai-shek in China. Where China would never have been communist, Cuba would never have been communist, but it was never the goal of the United States to ever fight communism because the Jews run the United States and communism is Jewish. Simple as that. It's actually a way for them to control things and to make money. And they hide behind the communist ideology, claiming it to be a political movement when it actually it's a racial movement to conquer the world. So they have dominant control in virtually every white nation, and since they take over money and media right off the bat, anytime they infiltrate a country, they take those two things over, because once you control the money and you control the flow of information, it's pretty easy to take any country in any direction that you want. So we have an insurgency going on in this country. These invaders and all would disappear tomorrow if we took power away from our arch enemy. Arch, of course, coming from the Greek word that just means the highest level, as in archangel. Okay, so our arch enemy, our enemy of greatest threat to us as a people and as a nation, are these people called Jews. There's just no doubt about it. There's whole websites with quotes of famous people all through the centuries about the Jews that will say exactly what I just said, besides George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, and a host of other founding fathers who warned about these people. But we have a problem, the white race has a problem, that when they get comfortable, they become complacent, lazy, and along with that, completely uninformed, or ignorant, if you will. And so we're suffering under that right now, because we have an insurgency going on, and it's unfortunate that so many people are completely sound asleep. Now, Coach Dave Davenmere, which he has a website called CoachDaveLive.com, I've put a feeler out to him to see if he'll be a guest at some point. But Coach Dave recently has become ignited. He is on fire, just as the Hagman team, father-son team, lately, especially since New York and Virginia came out with those absolutely atrocious laws and actually bragging about what they had accomplished on legitimizing the murder of a child. It's unbelievable. So anyway, he has a video he just put out today, and he even talks about in that video something that we talk about all the time, and it was time to return to states' rights. He didn't quite come out and say it, but you could read between the lines that sort of supports the idea of secession, as we talk about the free state of Florida many times. There are quite a few patriotic groups down here in the state of Florida. Many educational reform groups, Second Amendment rights groups, going back to constitutional law groups, lots and lots of them down here. Natural health advocates, correct scriptural teachings, everything. I mean, it's amazing. I didn't know it till I came down here and just found out about many of these things within the last 6 months. So, but Coach Davenmere, for somebody who's a major contributor at the website News with Views, it's amazing that he is reiterating many of the topics that you and I have talked about on these calls over the years. Absolutely amazing. So states' rights was one of them, returning the Senate to being appointed by the governor in the state legislature instead of a general election, as it was in the beginning, until the usurpers got in there and started tampering with what our founding fathers set up. And they always have some bogus BS excuse why it's necessary. They always fabricate some story, okay? Always. That's what these false flags are always about. They're to give them some emotional button to push on your forehead to get you to accept how they're undermining what the founding fathers set up. So, states' rights, very important. Get the Senate back under the state's control the way it belongs. And if the feds aren't going to represent us anymore, if they're going to be outliers and criminals, we need to walk away. We need to walk away from the federal government. Okay? They're our servants. I know they don't think so, but by God, they are. And every state has that right. And so people are starting to look around, is what kind of governor can lead us into seceding from the authority of the feds. They will no longer have our allegiance, no longer get tax money from us, no longer do business with them. They're out of the picture. Every federal employee will have a warrant put out for them within the state. If they want to stay working for the feds, who are enemies of the people, then you're going to be put on a list to be charged and brought in and arrested as an enemy spy. No feds within the state borders. All the taxation that goes to the feds ends. All corporations end. All taxes that are we currently labor under as they are written end. Inheritance tax gone. Sales, well, there will be a sales tax because that actually is constitutional. Okay, but it'll be much smaller than it is. Excise taxes, constitutional. Tariffs on foreign goods, that's constitutional. Those, and here's why, folks, think about this, okay? The founding fathers knew government always gets out, it grows too big and gets out of control. Always. It just always happens. So they put in their checks and balances. And what were the checks and balances? The Constitution says that you are not allowed to directly tax the people the way they're doing it today. You're not allowed to do that. So it's unconstitutional. Why? Because you have no control. See? They got your money. Once they've got your money, they don't give a damn about your morals. Okay? So excise taxes, sales tax, and tariffs, you have a choice to whether you want to support it or not. You see? Let's take a for instance, all right? Let's say you don't like what your government's doing. And so you decide that you're not going to buy any more new products, like a car, a new refrigerator, whatever, products. You're going to instead either get the old one fixed or buy it on the used market. Okay, not everybody's not going to do that, but if enough people do that, there's a financial hit to the retailers. And guess what the first thing these retail owners are going to do? They're going to march right up there to either Tallahassee or Washington and say, you need to knock it off right now because you're hurting my pocketbook. The people don't like what you're doing, so knock it off. Because they have the means and opportunity to get to see people in Washington you and I can't see. See, that's how the Founding Fathers ensured that we, the people, have a say even outside of the ballot box. You know, they keep trying to tell us that the ballot box is our most power. No, it's not. Your wallet is much more powerful, and your time in a jury box is much more profitable. When you go in there and some poor sap is sitting there being charged by the feds, or even the state government for an immoral law, you as a juror can say, not guilty. You see, everything is upside down. These liars and misfits tell you that you're not allowed to judge the law when our founding fathers made it quite clear that a jury's first moral duty is to judge the law, whether the government was enforcing a moral, justifiable law. First of all, then, if it passes that smell test, decide whether you violated it or not. Do you see how that works? These pieces of dog meat that wear black robes and call themselves judges are actually traitors to this country. They don't give instructions to the jury like that any longer because the court system is all part of this whole control mechanism, this insurgency that is trying to undermine we the people. Just as we've read these quotes many times, all power is inherent in us, and we, the people, need to take a stand. Coach Davimir pointed that out as well, that why are we looking to the people who caused our problems to fix our problems? They're not going to do it. King John in Old England back in the 1300s did not sign the Magna Carta voluntarily. He signed the Magna Carta with the swords of the barons pointed at his throat. So this whole idea that a king is a dictator, no, he's not. Not in a biblical sense, he's not. He's an elected official, and he's only king as long as he obeys our Heavenly Father's law. just as these misfits we have in government, whether you're talking county, state, or federal, they're only lawfully in positions of power as long as they obey the Constitution, which is our contract, and they obey the most highest power, which is our Heavenly Father. William Blackstone and the other jurists all made it very, very clear that man cannot rewrite law. The law has already been determined by our Heavenly Father. He set it in stone. He set it in the Scriptures. And He put it in our hearts, if you're listening to your conscience. His children, anyway. His children. Adamic man. So everything in this world today is upsetting the apple cart. And that's part of what this insurgency is all about. It is a rebellion. Literally rebellion. What the hell does adversary mean? One in rebellion. Okay, who's the great adversary? Well, Satan, and his sycophants, his proselytes, doing the work of his children, the Jew, in turning everything that's right and proper upside down in this world. Because that's what they do. People say, well, why would they do that? It's going to hurt them eventually, won't it? Why does a scorpion sting? Because that's what scorpions do. Okay, you can't argue genetics. You can't argue hardware and software. We have the hardware and the software. They don't have the proper software. They were programmed by the adversary. So they do the adversary's work. That's why Christ said, when you say a lie, when the Jews and their proselytes who have shekels in their pockets in Washington and Tallahassee, when they speak lies, they speak their own language because they don't belong to us. That's why the Founding Fathers said when you elect somebody to your government, it must be one of your kind, meaning race, and of your faith. And thirdly, be of good character, which goes back to what we just read by Thomas Watson, in that a man's ability to lead is determined by how he leads himself day by day. Right? You don't want people in your government that can talk the talk but don't walk the walk. Our government today is full, and I mean to the top, of hypocrites, which in the book of Luke chapter 12, we were told by Messiah, be careful of the leaven of the Pharisees, the Jews, and their proselytes. The leaven is anything that makes small, almost imperceptible changes in a thing or a process. So beware the leaven of these Pharisees, which is their hypocrisy, their acting, their pretending, or as we read in Insurgency, those in rebellion but not appearing or being recognized as a belligerent, meaning somebody who is out to get you, as in a military enemy, belligerent. Okay? Do you see how it all fits together? What the Christ was teaching, the true scriptures, and why people that go to these whitewashed sepulchers don't have a clue what's going on? These sepulchers called churches. And it's nice to see that people are leaving them in great number because there's no meat in them. You're not going to hear the truth in those buildings. They're just a social club. They're just a place for the elders and the pastor to have a good old time and make some money. And the preacher doesn't have to get a real job. Real preachers work in a private job. They don't preach Father's word for profit. Much like the original idea behind the federal government was your public servants went to Washington on their own time and their own dime. They didn't get paid. That's why there's a phrase in the Constitution that says that our legislators must get together at least twice a year. You can't dynamite those sons of bitches out of Washington now. They got their grips in there. It's a death grip on everything because they're just having a grand old time running everything in this whole country. Their tentacles have reached into every nook and cranny. When the Founding Fathers envisioned the fact that we better write this down or they're not going to come to Washington hardly at all because they're going to come on their own time and money. So we got to force whoever's elected, you got to get together at least twice a year and make sure everything's running okay. That was the idea. Not sit around and dream up new legislation. Not fill volumes upon volumes of regulations, statutes against we the people. You see how everything's upside down, folks? Which means the answer is simple. It really is very simple. And it's just get back to the basics. As the Founding Fathers intended, as our Christ intended, get away from centralized religion, which is just teaching a bunch of hogwash to make you feel guilty, because there's a lot of money in it. Or these new prosperity preachers like Osteen and Hagee and many others teaching their blathering lunacy because, oh, after all, Yahweh wants you to be rich. We're going to, prosperity, you don't deserve it, but, we're going to pray for it. So keep putting money in the plate. And you'll be rewarded. And while we're at it, Osteen and the rest of them, Hagee and all the rest, we're going to, of course, going to kiss the rear ends on our Israeli friends because they're putting a lot of money in the plate. Of course, the congregation doesn't see that they're bought and paid for. And now we know that their treason has even gone to the level they've made an agreement with the Department of Homeland Security, which is another Talmudic organization. All of these, like FBI, CIA, they were all founded by Jews, by the way. The Dulles brothers, Wilson, Roosevelt, all of these crypto-Jews got together to form all these organizations, just like they formed the Khamazars in Russia, the Cheka, the NKVD, and set up the different commissariats. Okay, over here we call them commissions and commissioners. They called them commissars and commissariats over there. You see the close, it's just a slight difference in pronunciation. In practice, they're identical. So you're living under a Bolshevik communist system. You don't even know it. All 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto are in effect in the United States today. All 10 planks. Including a heavy progressive income tax, taking away the right of property, etc., etc. Just look it up. There's tons and tons of websites. And Joel Skousen, who used to be, when he was alive anyway, he was a rather, he was a chief, a section chief, or whatever they called him in the FBI. And I believe he was in Dallas at one point. But Joel Skousen, I got his course on constitutional law and a heads up on what's going on in the world. His son is now a major speaker on the tour doing the same things. But Joel Skousen used to produce a cassette tape program, like 12 tapes in a binder, along with workbooks to go along with it, to teach people constitutional law and history and how we were being subverted. And this was back in the 70s and 80s. So people have been trying to tell us, we've just not been paying any attention. And so the insurgency continued, and it's gotten to the point now, again, that the Bolsheviks are up and in your face. Okay? Up and in your face. That's why that profligate piece of dog meat in Virginia and the other one in New York, both of them crypto Jews as far as I know, can brag about their Talmudic implementation of murdering children. Because again, to a Jew, A, you're not a child in the womb at any point, even up to the time of delivery. And once you're out of the womb, if you're not a Jew, then you're just an animal. So you can be sacrificed at any point. That's why they have no problem, the Jews have no problem with the child sex trade business, the child sacrifice, the satanic ritual abuse, all of that, the drinking of blood, because we're just no different than a cow or a sheep or anything else. We're here for the slaughter. We're here for their use and abuse because we have no rights. We're not part of their, quote, clique. And that's what's a crazy thing today is these whitewashed sepulchers and their prostitutes called preachers are out there telling the sheep that these people who worship Lucifer, who have a Talmud that's full of filth and degrading material, and is the basis for most of these draconian measures, they're telling them that they're God's chosen. We don't need to look into their history or any of their nefarious dealings because, you know, we don't want to offend them. They're God's chosen. Let's see, wait a minute. Now, aren't these the same people that want to lambast their children or somebody else if they say a curse word, or they wore blackface 40 years ago, or they offended a transgender, but the Israelis can gun down innocent Palestinians, they can create wars where millions of people end up dead, they can steal virtually all of the wealth of the land and put it in their pockets, and we're just going to overlook that. Do you see the insanity of all this? So, again, there has been an insurgency going on, and it's reached the level of being absolutely ridiculous. And it's good to see good men like Coach Dabomir and all the righteous men of his team that were on that YouTube that I watched talking about it's time for we men to get in the streets. It's pastime of keyboard warriors, telephone warriors, fax warriors, website warriors, it's time for the true believers to get in the streets. All right? To take the fight to the enemy. Because you're talking about the murdering of children. Do you think Father's judgment that will reign upon us is not far behind if this goes on? Abortion in general at any point is murder. But this one you can't even begin to justify in your pea brain. That, well, maybe the Jews are right and it's just a blob of cells, okay? No. You can't get away with that now. And when you find out the truth about what these clowns are doing, you're going to be amazed. Steve, for those of us that have been in this a long time, they know what I'm talking about as far as the fax machine. I'm not saying they use it today, okay? It's the point. The other thing that the coach was talking about I found very interesting was that he mentioned communities of like-minded people basically coming out of Babylon. And he didn't call them ark projects, but it was the same principle that we need to get back to family farms, we need to get back to communities because you can't trust these big manufacturers. I was told today that a manufacturer was called to ask about the kind of produce they were putting in the product that they were selling, and their response was, we sell too much of that to worry about that, whether it's non-GMO or non-hybrid. You know, we got to meet demand. So basically, again, it's the love of money. That's what guides everything in America today, and virtually every other white nation, the love of money. So here's a manufacturer where somebody took the time to contact their office and said, I'd like to know what kind of produce you're putting in your product. And their response, matter-of-factly, was, you know, we don't have time to check for that. You wonder why you're getting sick? You wonder why your food doesn't provide you anything? The people that make it can't be bothered to make sure it's good food for you. Do you even conceive of what that's telling you? Let that sink in. The people producing your food in them nice pretty bottles and packages all lined up in the grocery store and have all those neat little names for it and the bragging of we're providing the best for you. Really? And you don't even check on your sources for your fruits and vegetables and meats that come into the product? You don't even check? Because it would take too much and we can't get enough really good stuff. So we'll buy the not so good stuff. Okay? Can you imagine that? So again, Coach Davimir and his team, and many others now that I'm listening to, are starting to get it. We need to get back to smaller, more compact. They did talk also about all government needs to be local. I was really happy to hear that because we've been beating that drum for quite some time. All government must be local. Why? Because you can't touch those sons of bitches in Washington. That's why the founding fathers wanted Washington to stay very, very small, Washington, D.C., very small with very little influence. I remember as a boy back in the 50s that you never saw much in the local newspapers about anything coming out of Washington on a daily basis, almost never, because that was a project we did at school when I was just a boy. We went and we had to bring in a every day we had to bring in what we called current events. You had to clip an article out of the paper. Vietnam was going on during this period of time in the latter part of the 50s when I was in grade school. And you had to bring it in and talk about it. So that forced you to learn what a newspaper was all about, and you could pick out your article and you could cut it out and bring it to school and talk about it. So that kept us reading the papers, looking through the paper. But there was almost nothing about national government in the paper. Maybe once a week you might see a little clip about something out of Washington. Today, it's minute by minute, as if Washington has now become an oligarchy working as a dictator. Because back in my childhood, it was all local stuff, local PTA meetings coming up, or the Little League team was going to be out, which is something I did. I played Little League, and the boys would take containers and ask the people door-to-door if they would donate to support the Little League. Say, we didn't count on government or any other charity to do it for us. The people that played Little League ball, we went out ourselves and got the money to help pay for the ball field and our equipment, etc. So it was all local. Now it's like these people in Washington, you know, they got to dictate what kind of toilet paper you use, how many gallons you're allowed to use. There's a law that they're talking about now that they can come in if you violate this list of like almost 100 things. I mean, it's huge. You're an unfit parent. If you're overweight, if you eat the wrong kind of foods, if you have social media comments that they find not acceptable. I mean, the list is long, folks. These people are just completely out of control. If it's not time to get up and get in their faces now, it never will be. Never. Okay? Yeah, and Jimmy just put in here that the bandwidth police are here, so it just never ends. Once you, it's the old camel in the tent parable, okay? And anybody that's ever lived over in the Middle East and places where camels are, you know what that means. Once the camel gets his nose into the tent, you're not going to be able to stop them. Okay? They're coming in. They're looking for food or whatever. But once they get the nose into the tent, they're coming in. You're not going to be able to stop them. Once you let the government in, for instance, in healthcare, you can't ever get them out. When Obama started that whole nonsensical BS thing, they took the narrative away on what type they had they could give us, and they had one that was so atrocious that you lost faith, you lost the sight of the narrative, okay? Because it was so bad, you started going, well, give us this plan over here, when the argument out of our mouth should have been from day one that you don't have a right in my health care, Mr. and Mrs. Government, public servants. We know there was no mandate for you to be in there. Just because a bunch of Jew media moguls got together and produced all kinds of commercials and fear porn and BS like that, that doesn't mean there was an actual mandate from we the people. The real Americans, we don't want you in our lives. Okay? Healthcare, old folk care, care of our children, the education of our children. Look at the mess public education is in. Why? Because you gave control of it to the damn government. Again, a government that can't even run a post office effectively. Folks, they can't even deliver the mail effectively. And these same people are going to make wise decisions for your children and yourself, your health, their education, and on and on and on. Unbelievable. Mr. Kelly sent out an email today. I'm going to read this. I'm going to do my best to support it 10 days from now. I think it's 10 days from now. Let's see. On the 23rd. I thought the 23rd was on the weekend. Hold on. Maybe. Let me double check. Okay. Yeah, that would be. 23rd is not this coming, but the following Saturday. Okay. On the 23rd of February. There is going to be a day of mourning and remembrance by we the people across this nation. I've seen three or four different websites talking about it today. So it's growing much like the Yellow Vest movement in France and in other countries, by the way. I just read a story that Belgium, the whole country of Belgium, is in a stand down. There is a general strike. There are no air flights in and out of Belgium. There's no public transportation whatsoever. They have a general strike going on right now. So the Yellow Vest movement and the people standing up and saying, you know, we've just about had enough, is growing and growing. So this is our turn here in the States to have a day of mourning. There is a website set up for it, Day of Mourning, MOURNIG, mourning.org. That's coming up not this Friday, but the one following on the 23rd. It says here, so many people feel very disheartened after New York decided to make infanticide legal. And it's a baby, folks. It's never a fetus. At any point of development, it's a baby. No such thing as a fetus. And they're wondering, how did we get to this point? But we all know that, quote, the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing. So, to stop the evil, a movement is starting. There will be a day of remembrance and mourning on Saturday the 23rd. Now, here's what everybody's got to do, and I plan on doing it. Wear black in mourning and remembrance of the babies that this country has butchered since 1974. Pray, always. Every one of us should be doing that every single day, but definitely on that day. And do not shop. In other words, fast from spending your Federal Reserve notes in these predominantly Jewish-owned businesses. Okay? And since abortion is a Jewish invention, and the word fetus is a Jewish psychology invented word to get you to disassociate it with a baby, the psychiatrists and the social engineers with Jewish backgrounds convinced Christian America to start calling the child a fetus. And I know when that happened because I was an adult when that all started. And I remember thinking to myself and even talking to people about it and going, what the hell is a fetus? What are you calling a fetus? It's a baby. What do you mean it's a fetus? What the hell does that even mean? But you see, that's a sign of brainwashing. When you're calling something that's alive and has a personality, has a spirit, and is recognized by the Most High, you're calling it a blob of cells known as fetus rather than child, so that you can kill it and give its body parts over to the Jewish businesses and research centers and food additive industry without feeling guilty about it. So, wear black, pray, and most importantly, believe it or not, don't spend any of your money in any of these shops, especially the Jewish-owned ones, which is practically all of them, unless it's a family-run business. But to make the point, it should be just don't spend any money at all. I think that'll get somebody's attention, just like they're doing in Belgium right now. Okay? Let's do our part here in America, okay? They've certainly earned our enmity towards these criminals. They're no longer government agents. They're criminals, okay? I don't care if you're talking about the Federal Reserve, the IRS, the people in the Pentagon, Washington, D.C. Until they prove otherwise to me, they're all criminals. And I don't give a crap anymore about Q and how great Trump is. If you want to believe that, that's fine. I'm not saying don't, but I'm done with it, okay? I want to see results. I'm going to do what my Savior taught, which is show me your fruit. Okay, fruit doesn't mean words. Fruit means actual, tangible, visible evidence. That's what you judge people on, their actual fruit. Right now, we're hearing about indictments and Gitmo and tribunals, but you don't know who's going in front of those tribunals. I have no doubt that they're setting up for them. Oh, yeah, they are. But you don't have any evidence yet on who's going in front of them. All you have is a bunch of, well, maybe, but it's got to be kept secret. You know, who does that? Who works in secrecy? The righteous? Or those who are doing evil? Yahweh told the true believer to do everything in the open. Because if you're doing righteousness, there's no reason to hide it. That's what the enemy does. That's how the Jews operate. It's always in secrecy. Just like when Jacob Javits and the other Jews got together to destroy our immigration policy in the middle 1960s, they used the face of Ted Kennedy, the drunk murderer. Why? Because he was compromised. He was easy. He killed the Kopechne girl. They know it. She probably could have been rescued. But he didn't want to have his name in the paper. So when she drowned, they covered it up for him. They owned him from that point on. Ted Kennedy was just an Anglo face on a Jewish agenda. See how that works? And I've got it from personal testimony of somebody that was in the U.S. House of Representatives a while back that that's exactly what's going on in Washington, D.C. So if you think those sons of bitches in Washington, D.C. are going to fix our problems, you are dumber than a box of rocks. Sorry. Let's just call a spade a spade. All right? They're all bought and paid for. They all have Jewish blackmail, Jewish threats, and then they always, if that doesn't work, they can't bribe you, they can't intimidate you, they can't blackmail you, then the last resort is, well, the Mossad will sneak up and do you in the middle of the night. Or you'll be driving down the road and your brakes won't work. Or take remote control over your plane or your car. That's how they work. Now, what the Jew is not anticipating is when the righteous men finally have had enough and they decide we're coming after you. Because when we reach that point, life will no longer matter, just as the good book says. All that will matter is that we will fight you to the bitter end, and the goal is your eradication, as Obadiah and Ezekiel predicted. Because you are, as Christ himself said, responsible for all of the innocent blood that has been shed upon the earth. And if you don't believe those are the words of Christ, then please stop pretending to be a believer and burn your Bibles. I don't want to hear about that, well, I've got a friend that's Jewish. Well, that's your problem. I guess it sucks to be you. You don't want to believe Messiah? Well, Dan, you know, I got a Jewish friend that, you know, when I was sick, he brought me over some soup or what. Yeah. You've never read about the protocols. You've never read about the writings of the rabbis. You never read about the Inquisition when the Jews put it out, the head rabbis put it out. Pretend to be a Christian then. Oy vey. Pretend to convert. But in your heart, you're still a Jew. In your heart, you're still worshiping Satan. In your heart, the Talmud is still your holy book. But just tell them gullible white Christians that you're one of them. Just like Bush Jr. carrying the Bible, and then the next photograph you see he's carrying his Talmud and wearing his little yarmulke to go in and get Talmudic studies. It's right in front of your face. You don't see it. Bill and Hillary, crypto Jews, Bushes, crypto Jews, Obama, his mama, his little race traitor mama, half black, half Jew. There's no white in him, okay? So when people say, well, Obama was half white, excuse me? No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. Let's get it straight. He was half black, half Jew. There ain't a drop of white blood in that dude. And it shows. He's an idiot. And he's completely immoral. So he's following the mixed up blood that's in him. Go read the book, Anthology of Racial Issues. It'll explain Obama's behavior completely. He's a lunatic. Okay? He's got every symptom of a mixed breed individual that's in that book. Again, you want to argue with me, then you have to go read the book the way I did, and you tell me what page you're on that you're going to argue with the scientific studies that are cited in that book, okay? Other than that, don't bother contacting me, because I'm not here to make friends with you. I'm here to tell you what I've seen, what I witnessed, what I've read about, and I pay attention to what's going on in the world around me. Unlike, unfortunately, many of my family and friends and the people I see in general, who don't have a clue. The world is coming apart, and they're just as it was in the days of Noah. How about that? We're in it now. So we have an insurgency going on, and the ark, the opening of the ark will be in the very near future because the rains are about ready to start happening. What mankind has taken this poor earth to at this point in time is a stench in the nostrils of the Most High. An absolute stench. And it does say that he is slow to anger. I'm not sure why, but he is. It's what it says. He gives us time to repent and fix things, but it says that even our Heavenly Father, as much as He loves us, He has a limit to His patience. And though His grinding wheel of judgment moves very slowly, according to Scripture, it grinds exceedingly fine. So all the workers of iniquity, I hope you're paying attention. Your days are numbered. Proverbs 28, starting at the first verse, the wicked flee when no one pursues. That's paranoia. But the righteous are as bold as a lion, just as our good friend James with Downtown White Police says, it's time for us men to be lions again. Righteous men, okay? If you can't be a righteous man, you need to go somewhere else. Don't come around me or any of the people I know. The number one requirement to be in the Gideon army is you better be righteous. And we don't mean just talk the talk. You'd better be able to walk the walk, because we don't want you. Because numbers we don't care about. Our Heavenly Father said care about quality, not quantity. It's the quality that makes a difference. Verse number 2, in rebellion, we just read about that, didn't we? In rebellion, a land has many rulers. Here's the wisdom in Proverbs. But order is maintained by a man of understanding and knowledge. If that verse isn't talking about the biblical precept of a monarchy, then you tell me what the hell it's saying. In rebellion, which is exactly what the United States of America and every other white nation is, in rebellion to the good book, in rebellion to the Heavenly Father, in rebellion to our own history, in rebellion to common sense, in rebellion to the natural order. A land has many rulers. Tell me that isn't the way white people are in all of their lands. You got prime ministers telling you what to do. You got a pseudo-monarch, not a real monarch. You've got a pseudo-monarch. You've got lords. You've got parliamentarians, you've got mayors, you've got county officials, you've got this, you got the European Union, you got a whole army of people telling you what you can and can't do. Just as we have a whole army here, everything from the local government to the county to the precinct to the state, all the way up to the most despicable group, Washington, D.C., District of Criminals. So we have a whole army, many rulers, but order, law and order. Have you ever heard of that before? Law and order. They go together. Yahweh's law, not man's law. But order is maintained by a man, Adam. A man who is able to blush, a pure white man. A man of understanding and knowledge. Knowledge, of course, here could be translated as truth. Understanding, meaning knowing the Father and Father's ways, and truth. How about that one? Again, Proverbs 28, look it up yourself, do a word study, go to the Blue Letter Bible, go get to the eSword Bible. There's 1,000 different ways you can do your own word study and figure it out. But right there is one verse very plainly talking about the precept we've talked about here many, many times. People say you want to fix the problems. Well, are you guys ready for a monarchy? Are you ready for a righteous man to be set up as the leader and then under him have a whole host of commanders, sub-commanders, and a body, a privy council of elders to help guide him and help him with decision-making? Because if you think you're going to bring this whole conglomerate and hodgepodge of cultures and people together under anything today, you're crazy, folks. If you think Trump's going to do it, again, you're crazy. He's not going to do it. This is going to end up being exactly what the description of the Second Coming is talking about. This is going to be a leader, a monarch, one, mono, arche, one at the top, one in authority, upon a charger for war, with a heavenly host, or a heavenly-minded host, as Ezekiel 37 talks about, as his army to do righteous battle against the wicked. Lay the axe to the root of the tree. That's a biblical way of saying annihilating an enemy. Annihilating them, why? Because you hate who they are? No, because you hate what they do. What did King David say to our Heavenly Father? I hate your enemies with a perfect hatred. I hate your enemies with a perfect hatred. The solution is simple. It really is. It's not rocket science to fix any of the things that are wrong in this world. It's as simple 1, 2, 3 math. The problem is the people. A, they're pathetically lazy. They're apathetic. They're lethargic. They're ignorant. They don't want to get up on any issues. They don't want to be involved. And they're in love because they are drunk on the wine of the fornications of the whore of Babylon. They're drunk on all of the high-techy little toys. They're drunk on all the cars that almost drive themselves for you with all their little glitz and glitter and gadgets on them. They're drunk on their retirements, drunk on their vacations, drunk on their 3,500 square foot house, drunk on their closet full of clothes, drunk on their paychecks. That's exactly how they behave. Everything in their world boils down to protecting their, quote, assets. What is ironic is that the people haven't figured out the very things that you're worried about are a ball and chain around your neck. Literally, a ball and chain around your neck. It's kind of interesting, in the latter part of my life, some things my dad told me are coming true. As he said, the first half of your life you think it's your job to collect as many toys as you can, and then the second half of your life you spend trying to get rid of them. I've been through that, and I know exactly what he's talking about. As you get older, you realize that that's just a facade. There is no true happiness in it, and it's a great pressure upon you to constantly pack it up, move it along, keep it clean, keep it functional. Things, people, they're just things. They're not going to buy you happiness, and they can become a trap. And so the Father has brought me to a point in my life where I don't really have much of that stuff anymore. Some of it's by my own doing. Some of it, of course, is because of what's happening in the world around me and to me. But for one reason or another, many of the, quote, things I used to have pretty much disappeared. And what I'm finding out is the simple truths of life actually come into focus much better. It's hard to get there. I mean, I have to admit it. I wouldn't be there if Father hadn't helped push me down this road. But now that he's kicked me in the ass and knocked me down that road a couple miles, I'm looking back going, once again, it was painful. But looking back, I have to say thank you, because it actually feels freer. You're not worried about all that crap. You realize it doesn't buy you any happiness. It really doesn't. And it prevents you from being the man or woman that Father wants you to be. Because think about it. If you weren't tied to these, quote, earthly things, you might behave a little differently. You might get a little more involved. For instance, I shut the cable and television off years ago. In Michigan, I went through a 10-year period with none. I came here to Florida. I had a year or so where I watched a little bit of it, mostly documentaries, but even that, I got so sick of it, and the damn cable bill just went through the ceiling. So once again, I decided I don't need it, and I don't miss it. I'm back to where I was when I lived in Michigan and loving it. I don't waste any time with that retarded electronic toilet, Talmud Vision, TV, Talmud Vision. And I'm going to tell you another thing. It's a benefit. Another blessing the Father will give you is you sleep better at night, because you're not subjected to all the propaganda and fear porn that piece of garbage is pumping in your head. I call it the Blu-ray of death. When you go by a home and you can see that bluish glow on the sides of the walls in people's homes because you know they've got the Talmud Vision running in there. oh, my God. Our people, I swear. I can see Steve here. I think he's up there in Maryland. He says here, everything I own fits in my Kia Soul. Well, actually, you can get quite a few things in a Kia Soul, but I get your point. You're right. If you can get everything into a Kia Soul, you don't have a lot of excess. I'll guarantee you that. It's not going to carry a lot of stuff. But they are pretty... I got a couple friends of mine that drive those Souls, and I got to tell you, even though they're not made here, it's an actually pretty nifty little car. Isaiah 30, starting at verse 9, for it is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear Yahweh's law, who tell the seers or the prophets or the teachers, do not see. And to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things or holy things. Tell us pleasant things. Prophesy deceits. You see, they're begging to be lied to. And the Jews, of course, hey, that's right up their alley. They love it when you ask for that. That's their wheelhouse, as Jimmy calls it. Get out of the way. Turn aside from the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel, Yahweh, to cease from before us. Get that garbage off of my plate. Don't tell me what the Bible says. Teach me pleasant things. Lie to me. Just don't tell me the truth. That hurts. I don't want to know what the truth is. Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness. Is that the mainstream world today? In a nutshell, you trust in oppression from government, the beast, and perverseness gladly provided to you by the Jews and the people that the Jews own and control. And you rely on it. Therefore, this iniquity shall be to you like a breach ready to fall. A breach in your walls. In the old days, a castle is how you protected you and your family and your property. You have a breach in the wall, a swelling out in the high wall, whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant. And he's talking to you, white men and women. Judgment starts in the house of Yahweh. And don't hand me that modern-day bullcrap about, well, Jesus just loves everybody, and the Bible was written for everybody, Dan. Really? Says who? Okay. History doesn't teach that. The disciples didn't do that. The church fathers for over 1,000 years didn't believe that. This message went only to the house of Jacob Israel, which is the white race, the Israelites of old. This message wasn't even taught to the other people until the modern era, until the Catholic Church decided, hey, this is a good vehicle to get in there and brainwash them poor savages and steal their property. And we might take a few of their children along the way. Maybe take a few of their boys in for our priests and all. And do you see how that works? That's when this whole gospel message is for everything on 2 feet came from. Up until recent history, that was ludicrous. That's why the belief in Yeshua HaMashiach was called a white man's burden. The other races weren't burdened by it. We were. Why? Because it has commandments. It has rules and regulations. They live pretty much the way their ancestors lived. They weren't bothered by all that. We had the burden because he put us here to teach and lead by example, to bring law and order, to bring civilization. Yeah, Jimmy, you got to go, buddy. That's okay, bud. Take care. Yahweh bless. Thanks for being with us and your audience, whoever's out there with us. So thank you for that. If anybody has anything and you're on a phone or even on your computer, feel free to go ahead and give me the *6 or click on the Q&A button on your toolbar and join in the final minutes of the program here if you have anything to report. Oh, okay. Steve says here, ham radio. We don't have anything to do with ham. Yeah. Citizens Band Radio, the general, what do they call it? There's the GMRS service and the FRS, Family Radio Service, and the General Mobile Radio Service, I think is what that GMRS is. Amateur radio, right, amateur. It's, some people call it ham radio, but he's right. It's called amateur radio, UHF, VHF, and it's a good way to stay in touch, especially if there's any truth to some of the rumors that we may have a break in our communications and internet and even phone service at some point. It's a good way to talk with one another. By the way, ham radio clubs are generally filled with predominantly white guys, and they are very, very techy, very, very friendly guys, can help you get up to speed on how to use a ham radio. They're not that expensive. I've found some 2-meter and 70 centimeter band radios on eBay, dirt cheap. They're good for local use and if you're going to use the repeater system, but the repeater system may not work. So as a backup, you're going to want the 10 meter band, 11 meter band, maybe even 6 meter band radios. Steve says, don't you need a FCC, Federal Communications Commission, license you need it on most of the bands. The 11 meter band is CB radio. You don't need a license for that. And a license nowadays is much easier to get, and you do not have to be able to do Morse code. In the old days, you had to learn 5 words a minute in Morse code to get a license. Now you don't even need that. So, but here's what I try to tell people, that when crap hits the fan, do you think anybody's going to monitor? So it looks like we've got 91 visitors, non-logged in visitors. So we're up over 100 people total. So hallelujah for that. Yeah, Morse code. I tried to teach myself Morse code. That's the dot dash dot, you know, which if you're good at it and you've learned it, it's almost like a language. You don't even pay attention to the dashes and the dots. You can actually hear words when you've done it a lot. But it is a little tougher to learn. And the Morse code, though, is not a requirement for most of the bands. And here's the thing I tell people. Get proficient. Use like the Citizens Band, 11-meter band zone. Those frequencies are open to the general public. You don't need a license for those, okay? But your radio, if you get a good base station, it'll cover the whole gamut. It'll take you all the way from 11-meter through 10-meter to 6-meter, 2-meter, 70-centimeter, which are much higher frequencies, all the way up to 400 and some megahertz. Okay, that's the whole band. But the principles of how to use the radio, you can stay down at the 11-meter band and have a lot of fun, and you're not going to get in any trouble, okay? But at least you have the radio and know how to use it. You have the antennas, and if things go to pot, you pick whatever band you want, because it's just like a driver's license. Do you think somebody's going to give a damn if you got a driver's license or a pilot's license in the middle of a disaster? Nobody's going to care. When you have a hurricane or a tornado goes through and all the amateur radio guys come out, do you think they're sitting there asking them for their license when people have lost phone service and cell phone service, and there's people dying and there's people in trouble and their homes are burned? Do you think any of the people involved in all that give a damn that you have a piece of paper saying Uncle Sam gave you permission? No, nobody's going to care. All they care about is you got a radio. And you know how to use it. Okay? Think about that. I learned to fly a plane. Do I have a license? No. No, I don't. Can I start a plane, go through the pre-flight checkout, and get it down the runway and off the ground? Yes, I can. And my landing would probably be a little bumpy, but I'll get it down. Only because I haven't had a whole lot of experience, but I've done it enough. I know I can do it. I know what the instruments are for, and I know how to fly it. And I can get it down. Same thing with a boat, same thing with a car, same thing with a truck, same thing with a diesel, same thing with a tractor on a farm. I've operated them all. You think anybody gives a damn if I got a license when they're starving, when there's aliens invading our country, or et cetera? You think anybody gives a damn about a license, especially from a government of traitors and misfits and people that can't even tell a child is a child? And I'm going to worry whether they give me permission to operate a radio. Like I said, you do what you want to do, folks. Again, you got a whole 11-meter band to use, which is, I forget, 41 frequencies now. And you can go single sideband on either side, get even more frequencies. It's fun to do, and it's not that expensive. And it's a way to stay in touch when everything else fails, because amateur radio base station, they call it a base station, with a proper antenna and an amplifier on it, can reach practically across the entire United States and into Canada, Mexico, Cuba, depending on where you are. But it'll reach out there, and if the weather conditions are right, you can even talk to other continents. Okay, good. Just go to a ham club radio or a amateur radio club meeting some night. They're always friendly people. They'll be glad to bring you in as a guest, and you can listen to them, and they love it when you ask questions. and just talk to them, the guys that have actually done it. Now, they're not going to be extreme like me. They're going to tell you, well, you know, you got to practice and get the license and, you know, well, okay. Yeah, they're not wrong. It's just that guys like me, I don't care about that stuff. I just want the knowledge. I want to know how to use it. Let's see here. Pastor Dan, it's the white law abiding part of me, my weakness. Oh, okay. Wait a minute here. He only knows one hand sign. Actually, only requires one finger. Okay, that's your law abiding part of you. Okay. Yeah. Well, the thing about Morse code now with computers, you can tie a modern base unit for amateur radio into your computer, and you can actually type out a message, and it'll turn it into Morse code and send it out over the radio. And you can do internet and email type functions over your amateur radio. There's ways to do that. It's called data packaging, I believe, that they send out over the frequencies, and it can be interpreted by a computer. So the amateur radio is not only a fun hobby to have, but there's a lot of practical use for it, especially in times of trouble, and you can actually communicate computer to computer over a ham radio signal. Just something to think about, okay? Something to think about. So anyway, we have a full-fledged insurgency that's coming to a conclusion. They've practically taken over this country. I think it's very apparent that the people that we've entrusted our religious upbringing, our schools, medicine, pharmaceuticals, food production, hospitals, and government agencies have all, and court system, and police, and military, have all been corrupted. Okay, especially in leadership positions. I'm not saying that the men and women at the lower ranks are all corrupted, but by God, the leadership is corrupt as hell. And if the people that are in uniform or working for any of these organizations, they're going to have to make a decision in the very near future. Just telling you, okay, you can do whatever the hell you want. I don't care. My job is to tell you what I've been told to tell you, and that is you don't have much more time. Not much more at all. The enemy of our Heavenly Father has made it very clear who they are and just how demonic they are. The righteous are going to have to stand up. And I'll tell you what, let's read a verse that I'll bet you most churchgoers haven't heard in a very long time. In the book of Psalms, if you want to go there, go to Psalm 149. It's at the very end. Of course, it depends on your version. There are some psalms that are not in our, quote, standard Bibles, but you should have this one. Praise Yahweh, sing to Yahweh a new song, his praise in the assembly of the saints. Who are the saints? The ecclesia in the Greek language, meaning the called out ones. He calls us out. He calls us forward. Let Israel, Jacob Israel, the people, not a country, this is a people. Let Israel rejoice in him who made them. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. That's you and me, people, not these despicable Jews, please. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises to him with tambourine and harp. In other words, our Father likes it when we have a good time, especially if we can bring honor to him while we're doing it. For Yahweh takes pleasure in his people. He crowns the humble with salvation. Do our people even know what the word humble means anymore? Maybe I'll look it up for us here when I'm done with this. Let the saints, the called out ones, rejoice in honor. Let them sing for joy on their beds. That used to always bother me until recently when I figured out that a lot of my time for contemplation, prayer, whatever, is in the morning when I first wake up and when I go to bed at night. So while I'm laying there, that makes a perfect time to fellowship with Father. May the high praises of Yahweh God be in their mouths and a two-edged sword in their hands. Now, for all of you Judeo, modern-day Judeo types that think that's a spiritualized verse, go look it up in either the Hebrew or the Greek, and you'll find out that that sword is literal sword. There is no metaphor. There is no spirituality to it. We praise the Father with our mouths and with a two-edged sword in our hands, and this tells you what it's for. Verse 7, to execute vengeance on the nations. That's ethnos, peoples. It's not just countries, it's peoples, races, and punishments on the peoples. Vengeance and punishment on the various peoples. And to bind their kings with chains. Oh, who are kings? A lot of countries don't have kings today, but they do have presidents, prime ministers. This is a biblical way of talking about whoever's in charge, whoever's your governing authority. So to bind their kings with chains and their nobles, that's the ones under the king, with fetters of iron. Fetters are like shackles. To execute on them the written judgment, all of his saints have this honor, praise Yahweh. How about that? That's right out of your Bibles. I wonder how many sermons have been talked about this and taught the truth that it's not only our duty, it's our honor to not only worship our Heavenly Father, but to draw out the sword and to execute vengeance and punishments upon the people that violate God's law. That's our job. That's what we were put here for. My people suffer from a lack of knowledge or truth. Hosea 4:6. It's also why our children have been abandoned, because we have ceased to be parents. We have ceased to be faithful to our Father in heaven, and so he has forgotten our children. They're suffering with vaccinations causing autism and death. Oh yeah, the Jew says he created a new social construct called SIDS, or sudden infant death. Okay, I love how they do that. Oh, that means go back to sleep. Don't look any further. We've given it a name, sudden infant death. Don't look into the vaccination program or any of that. We've given it a name. It's okay. Okay? The Jewish medical mafia has given it a name. So go back to sleep, dumb sheep. It's okay. Your baby died. And no, it can't be that vaccination. We're making too much money. Don't be looking down there. Oh, God. I swear, it's amazing what we buy, what we accept from these animals and criminals that walk amongst us. It's just unbelievable. I've said it for years, you know, when the hell are we going to wake up? I mean, again, get the hell out of these mainstream churches. There's not a bit of truth in them. They're social clubs. The preachers today are nothing more than the Baal priests of the Old Testament times. The Baal priest was, as in Ahab and Jezebel's time, it was their job to convince the people that they had a, quote, religious obligation to obey the, quote, authorities. And what is the modern-day church world doing? Okay? Exactly the same thing. Don't get involved in politics. Obey the government. Romans 13. But just like the deceiving Jew, the proselyte preachers don't read the rest of it. Yes, there is a particular kind of government we owe our allegiance to, but not government in general. If you finish out the book of Romans, it explains the government that we owe our allegiance to, and it's a government doing God's will on this earth. You can't say that about these creatures that are in government positions today. They are the antichrists. It's okay to murder a baby. It's okay to shred it to pieces and sell off the body parts for over $100,000. It's okay to grind up parts of their bodies and put it into your food additives because it enhances the flavor and turns you into a cannibal. You want to be afflicted with mad cow disease? How did they give the cows mad cow disease? They started feeding them meat, and some of it diseased. Cows can't digest meat, folks. Or don't you understand what herbivore means? God intended them to eat grass, hay, vegetation. They cannot digest meat. So once again, oh, go back to sleep, poor little sheep. We've identified it. It's mad cow disease. Oh, how ludicrous. Mad cow disease. And it just spontaneously happened. It's the same bullshit that they feed you about cancer. It just spontaneously happens. Or it runs in your family. You know, ignorance is what runs in the family, not cancer. Ignorance. Cancer is like every other disease. There is a cause and effect. Cancer never just happens. No disease just happens. But they don't want you to go look for causes, because then you're going to find out what they're up to. So you go back to sleep and go to your witch doctor, and he'll make sure you're pumped full of chemotherapy and other drugs, and he'll radiate you with radiation. And you need to go listen to Dr. Lorraine Day. The video is made by Dr. What was his name? Masters, I think. Charles Masters. Go look at the actual doctors who have turned away from the barbaric practices in treating cancer that we have. They actually were able to overcome it naturally, and they have refused to support modern-day medicine's treatment of many, many illnesses. Okay? So, with that, I think we're going to close it out for tonight and let you guys have a break, because we've had some rather long ones here lately. But we are definitely being invaded in many different ways. The communists are doing their thing, and the alien invasion of people not of our kind is all at their doing. Okay, they're behind it all, because it's part of the divide and conquer. And to put upon us so much chaos and overwhelm us with so much negativity and these type of things, to where we will succumb to the, quote, New World Order. You know, we've read the quote of Henry Kissinger. Maybe I should read that again just to refresh your memory. Henry Kissinger told us what was coming. And this was back in 1991. Let's see. Yeah, here it is. Henry Heinz, Bolshevik, Khazar, Jewish, Communist Kissinger, in Evian's France in 1991, he said, today, now listen to this, this is clear back in 1991, by a complete degenerate piece of dog meat, today America would be outraged if United Nations troops entered Los Angeles to restore order. Tomorrow, they will be grateful. This is especially true if they were told that there was an outside threat from beyond, like space, whether it's real or promulgated, meaning a lie, that threatened our very existence. It is then that all peoples of the world will plead to deliver them from this evil. The one thing every man fears is the unknown. When presented with this scenario, individual rights will be willingly relinquished for the guarantee of their well-being granted to them by the world government. Thank you, Henry, douchebag, scumbag, Zionist dog Kissinger. Thank you for that. So in 1991, he made that statement, okay? Up until 1991, you never saw anything in the paper about terror or terrorism. I know. I lived back then, okay? You didn't see that until after 1991. And what happened after 1991? Well, 1992, Randy Weaver's family was attacked. Shortly after him was the people in Waco. Shortly after that was Oklahoma City bombing. See how it escalated up in intensity and terror value? And then the next big one after Oklahoma City, of course, was New York City in 9/11. It ramped up exactly as Mr. Douchebag, Dirtbag Kissinger said in 1991. He gave us a one-year little heads up there, didn't he? So those of us who have read this quote and read about the awakening, especially those of us that knew anything about the John Birch Society and many of the other organizations that were anti-communist, okay, we knew what he was talking about. We've seen all of this stuff happening over the past couple decades. And that's why we're sitting here scratching our heads as to why in the world aren't people in the streets rebelling? These people are animals. And they're out to take over your countries, white man and white woman. And again, if you want to know what happens when a communist takes over your country, you need to see the evidence and testimonies of the people that lived through the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia and what was done to the multiple tens of millions of innocent men, women, and children who were white and Christian, and many others as well, but definitely their animosity towards whites, and especially followers of the Christ, their complete and utter contempt and hatred. You'll see. That's why they're called the great pretenders. Hypocrites. Hippocrates in the Greek. Actors. Actors. Pretending to be Americans. Pretending to follow an oath to a constitution they have no care about whatsoever. Pretending to be a part of your civilization and honoring your institutions when they belong to another foreign power. They even take an oath of office. They even have dual citizenship. And you wonder why they betray us? No. The question is, why would you trust them? What kind of Kool-Aid did you drink? Too many hits of acid or what? They publicly state that they're not of you. Christ says you can't serve two masters. They have loyalties and citizenships and it's a lie. And here. Which master do you serve? You can't. Well, I don't know. Are you saying Christ is a liar? Because he said you can't serve two. Make up your minds, people. The final curtain call is about ready to be made. As Christ said, there'll be no sitting on the fence on this one. You pick which side you're going to be on, but you're going to pick a side. Just like in America today, you've got the left and the right. They are completely separated, diametrically opposed, with a schism as big as the Grand Canyon between them. There is no living together with people that are that demented. You cannot occupy the same country. You cannot be in the same government. You are not homogeneous any longer. The enemy has literally divided and conquered you because you forgot the prime objective of government, the prime objective of a nation. The very word nation itself says that a people that have the following in common: race, religion, culture, language, heritage. Did you catch that? Have those things in common. Because if you don't, you're not a nation. You're an empire. And empires never survive, ever. They go down in misery, and violence and conflict. It happens every single time. I guess we just went over the 120 mark, like 125 or so. So hallelujah for that. And again, to the folks at Bank versus UTV, thanks for being with us, and thanks for everybody being there. We'll go ahead and say a short prayer. We're in terrible straits, folks. I'm telling you, this nation has never been in as bad a shape as we're in right now. And if there are any righteous men and women left in this country, they better stand up and be counted now. Not tomorrow, now. And everybody should support the Remembrance and Mourning Day of February 23rd. Wear black, pray, and abstain from spending money in any business. And for God's sakes, don't spend any money in any Jewish business. Period. On that day. At least one day. Can you do it one day? Prepare ahead of time so you don't need to go out and spend money. Just stay away from the businesses. Stay away from them all. Make a statement. So, dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, glory, and honor that you and you alone deserve. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters. We thank you for those that are awakening, as evidenced by the various YouTube channels, the freedom fighters, the patriots, the veterans, former police officers and all that have their own channels, the citizen journalists that we have, a whole army of them out there that are doing the digging down the deep rabbit holes to bring us truth, because we're starving for the truth, Father. We're surrounded by degenerates and pigs and cesspool dwellers, and they're spewing their fear porn and lies like there's no tomorrow. It is absolutely and utterly disgusting. You said your children suffer from a lack of knowledge, and we're not like the other people begging to be lied to and to be told what's comfortable. We want the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, even if it hurts. The whole truth. Please, Father, we pray for your coming, because you're the only one qualified. That should be pretty obvious that we men are fallible and we're really not good for much of anything. We can't even get the simple stuff right. We can't even protect the most innocent life that exists, known as a baby. We can't even protect babies nowadays. We have to argue about whether they even exist, let alone protect them. We are despicable people. Those of us that repent of all this, Father, we're asking that you would lift us up. We ask that you'd give us some authority, give us courage to stand against all this, knowing that if we'll take a stand, that we'll help others take a stand. It's contagious. Righteousness is contagious, folks. Help us to remember that, Father. Guide us in all that we say and do. Give us good discernment in these latter days. And protect us from our enemies. We ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.